Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Imate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajarine Yavatesha Shunyavadi Askatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes, good morning to everyone. Happy to go today with all of you through our 64 rounds day. And I would like to give you in a lecture which does not exceed half an hour, a very brief introduction to this day. I would like to, first of all, say from where does this number 64 rounds come? And during Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent on planet Earth, he met every morning his dear devotees in Navadvip, the Navadvip Vasis. Brindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, says that these devotees were actually devotees who had appeared with the Lord throughout many of his incarnations. They were, for instance, there when the Lord came in and performed his Krishna Leela here in Vrindavan. But they also had been with other forms of the Lord, Sri Ram, for instance, Lord Narsingadev, etc. So every morning these devotees who were bound to the Lord in a love which extends throughout eternity came to the Lord and gave him an offering of fragrant champak flowers, bananas, jokurt, etc. For his breakfast, things for his breakfast, etc. And the Lord very lovingly greeted his dear servants, his servants throughout many of his incarnations, and gave them an instruction. He said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kahilan ei maha mantra, iha ghiye japa sada, kariya nibanda. Please take a note of this word, Nirbanda. It's a very important word. Iha hoite sarvasiti hoibe sabara sarvakshana baleite vidinahiara. The Lord said, O my dear devotees, I have spoken the Maha Mantra to you. It goes like this. Then he chanted the full Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. Now go ahead and chant it, being sure to take a vow to repeat it a fixed number of times every day. This vow to repeat it a fixed number of times every day is called a nirbandha. All perfections will come to you from chanting the holy name. Chant always. There is no other rule to follow. It's in the 23rd chapter of the Madhya Lila from Chaitanya Bhagavat, text 75 to 78. These are verses which are often repeated in the context of Mahaprabhu's instructions. What were his main instructions? I think we can understand that these instructions were so important to the Lord, and he meant them. It were full-hearted instructions, if you so wish, because of the situation. There were his dear devotees, and he talked to them. He gave them the dearest, the essence of his appearance. Now, this word, nirbandha, is translated in this text as a vow to repeat the Hare Krishna mantra a fixed number of times every day. But nirbandha can have other meanings as well. I feel it's important to explore these meanings because they could give us a spectrum of what is contained in this instruction, the full spectrum of the instruction. Nirbandha can mean fixed concentration, so you have to chant with fixed concentration. And something which I personally find so important for this retreat, a unity of thought and action. In other words, there's no split between what you do and what you think. Or to make it more simple, you are fully present with your mind and thoughts in the practice of chanting. This is nirbandha. Bring it together, mind and activities. In material life, very often the mind and the activities or our attitudes towards what we do are split, and that creates minor and major psychological problems. We don't really do the things because we like them as they are. We just have to do them because we want to reach a certain goal. I think you know this split, this gulf of difference, or this abyss, and you have suffered from it at times. Nirbandha means also chanted with enthusiasm. And it means also here with a determination to achieve the desired goal. The desired goal is called the sadhya, the goal of our practice, that is love of Radha and Krishna. Nirbandha has another meaning, affectionate respect for the practice of chanting. But here in this context, Mahaprabhu didn't speak about bringing your thought to where you do. Mahaprabhu did not speak about enthusiasm or affectionate respect for the practice. Mahaprabhu specifically meant here, chant your the Hare Krishna mantra with a fixed with a vow to repeat it a certain number of times each day. Now this. What did Mahaprabhu mean with a certain number of rounds each day? What was, in other words, his standard? On another occasion, that was in Puri, Mahaprabhu made very clear what he meant with how many rounds a day his followers should chant. Please let us understand the situation in which he said what he said about his standard. In Puri, many brahmanas and devotees had the desire to invite the Lord for a lunch prasadam. These invitations were numerous, they increased, and it was the duty of Swarup Damodar to manage the invitations. In other words, to say, okay, on Monday Mahaprabhu goes to Bhagavan Mishra's house, on Tuesday the Lord will visit Advaita Acharya, and so on. He was scheduling the appointments, in other words. But soon, so many devotees were there that there were not enough days in the year to invite Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu, he smilingly said something which threw his devotees into absolute turmoil in the beginning. He said, I will henceforward only accept lunch in the invitations of the 100,000s. Now, 100,000s is a number, it's a Lakeshvara is the word, which is indicating usually the wealth of someone. Just like when I say in our cultural context, I will only go to a millionaire. I don't mean that this person has to have a million banana trees or a million, candles in his possession or a million cars. I specifically mean that he has a million of the currency of my country in which I'm there. In America, a millionaire would be a millionaire in dollars. In India, it's easier to be a millionaire. It would be a millionaire in rupees. So when Mahaprabhu said, I only go to the house of someone who possesses a lakh, that is 100,000, it meant in that cultural context, the person had to have a 100,000 either rupees to his name, never find out, or these little conch shells, which were in Puri a means of exchange. You would pay in conch shells, but small conch shells, not the big ones which we blow. So the poorer devotees became totally discouraged. I mean, imagine we would say to you at the Japa retreat, we only accept applications from someone who is a millionaire. I mean, you would be very, very, very distressed. I mean, who is a millionaire here? Maybe Burijan Prabhu.
You can't even think of a clever reply to that.
he is stunned. His mind can't say even a reply to this impossibility. At least not to my knowledge, is I was disinherited. I would have been, but several millions, but no, it's not there any longer. So Gaurahari, to my knowledge, also has like maybe 1,000 Swiss francs for old age security and so on. It would be very distressing to hear that our entry into bhakti is dependent on monetary wealth. So these devotees were just, oh, Mahaprabhu will only come if I'm a 100,000 and a millionaire person. They were very, very dejected. When the Lord heard this, he laughed and explained that he meant he would only go to someone who's rich or wealthy in the holy name. He said, do you know what is a Lakeshwara, a possessor of 100,000? He is someone who chants one lakh or 100,000 holy names daily. I call such a person a Lakeshwara. I only take meals in that person's house, no one else. So 100,000 holy names amounts to a little less, if you count them, than 64 rounds. But we have made it 64 rounds because we know that of those 100,000 names, maybe some one name will be lost here, or gobbled up there, or mispronounced here, or spaced out there. So 64 is given to make up for the things which inevitable due to the of anatomical construction of the imperfect tongue and lips and that vocal machine which each human owns will come about. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur maintained that standard for his institution, the Gaudiya Math. He very, very clearly said, everyone living in the Gaudiya Math must make an effort to chant 1 lakh of holy names daily. Otherwise, if you do not do this, if you do not chant that many rounds, different types of material attachments may creep in one's heart that will hamper one's devotional service. Let us meditate a little on the reason why he gives it. He could have said, well, Mahaprabhu said it, and that's why we do it. He said that at other occasions. But here he gives another reason. He speaks of the grave consequence which comes when you don't chant 64 rounds a day. You will develop material attachments, and not just harmless ones, but attachments which hamper or produce obstacles on your path in devotional service. Do you sometimes suffer from that types of material attachments? I think we all, you know, we in the family, we can just, yes, I know what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is talking about, yes. For those of you who have chanted 64 rounds each day for a longer amount of time, they know that if you have done this, your mind just vibrates, not so much with material objects and the attachments to these objects or projects, but your mind being solidly influenced by, let me say, 7 to 8 hours of chanting each day, is naturally drawn to Krishna. Let me know more about Krishna, his qualities. Your mind is naturally more drawn to humility. Your mind is naturally more withdrawn from the things like, you know, obstacles like lustful attachments and greediness. And you will actually be able to behold the world through your purified mind as a place which is really meant for you to reform your broken relationship with Krishna. You will really see, I'm here to work on this broken relationship and make it whole again. This will be very clear to you because the mind's functions have been moved by the sound of the holy name in a profuse way. Let us continue. In the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in fact, the Lord does not accept food offering from one who does not chant daily 1 lakh of holy names. And now he says how this is possible. One should balance his time so that he can finish one leg of holy names per day and also perform his other allotted duties. In other words, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur does not say that you chant 64 rounds and this is all you have to, this will take the whole day. No, he says, arrange your day so that you can chant and at the same time perform your other allotted duties. I have looked around a little bit in our Vaishnav culture to find out how this is possible. The trick to do it is really to use the early night hours for a good and refreshing sleep and then be ready to chant the rounds at, say, around 3 o'clock. One can regulate his life that is easy. When you're by 9 o'clock in the bed, you get healthy sleep. I don't know if any one of you is a sleep expert. I am. I have studied this biologically. If you sleep before midnight, the hours before midnight have a double refreshing and nourishing effect for your body and brain cells as those who come afterwards, after the midnight. So, therefore, you can do it with 6 hours. You will feel, yoo-hoo, I'm well rested, where is my japa mala now? And so on. Then you chant, let us say, 7 to 8 hours from 3 o'clock. I'm not a mathematician. 3 plus 7?
10 o'clock.
So let us add another hour, 11 o'clock. Then you eat your breakfast, then you take your nap, and then what do you do from 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock the rest of the day? There's many things you can do. This is, it's in other words, not an impossibility at all. It may require a certain time of a certain thing of balance in our life, and we might have to habituate our body and mind away from the later hours of the night. To tell you quite frankly, I'm, for instance, am a night owl. I usually, you know, that's when I preach, and that's when people in the Western civilization have time, because throughout the day they're very busy to make an income and so on. But it's possible, in other words. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati once even made a public declaration which appeared in the Amrita Bazaar newspaper that he would provide free lodges. I don't know, is this an English word, lodges? It means lodging. You could stay and you could eat for free if you would come into his ashram and chant 64 rounds a day. Only in rare cases, that is when devotees were engaged in full-on preaching service, he said 16 rounds. Now let us see Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada, and his standard or his position or take on this. When Srila Prabhupada first came to America, he actually encouraged his early disciples to abide by the standard which had been given by his Guru Maharaj and by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But soon he saw that his Western devotees were not able to calmly sit down for 7 hours and chant. It's just, as we say in German language, They have ants in their dhotis and saris. We you know, active, very active people, passionate. Really? No, oh yeah. No, I mean, I have translated this into, it's an idiomatic expression. Er hat Ameisen in den Hosen, you know. So Mukunda Maharaj, one of the first disciples, remembers meeting Prabhupada, and he has written it down so nicely in one of his Vyasa Puja offerings that I have just taken it as he said. He says it's so nice. Please hear. It's really humorous and also provocative. In 1967 in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada asked me, Mukunda Maharaj is writing, "What is your definition of Krishna?" I said, "Krishna is God. He is the Supreme Being. Our duty is to worship and serve Him." Swamiji seemed fairly satisfied, and then he said, "You must chant 64 rounds per day on your beads." In other words, yes, this is an eligible man. He says Krishna is God and the Supreme Being, is our duty to worship and serve Him. Good, now let us give Him the sadhana, 64 rounds per day. I was shocked at this and could not answer. I didn't know if there was even any need to answer. I just kept looking at Swamiji, and he looked at me. After some time, he said, "Or at least you can chant 32 rounds a day." Still silence. I considered it to be very difficult to chant even 16 rounds. I was wondering how I could possibly chant 32 rounds. After some time, Swamiji said, "At the very least, you must chant 16 rounds per day." So, later, in this devotional manual, the Nectar of Instruction, which Srila Prabhupada actually wanted to distribute in large quantities, because there it is said how we can attain our highest aspiration to become a servant of Srimati Radharani. He describes this situation with his Western disciples. "The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads." In other words, yes, chanting more is good, but they are not eligible. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, he is considered fallen or patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. Now, throughout his teaching in this world, Srila Prabhupada, who had reduced the standard quota of 64 rounds, made no secret that our 16 rounds is the bare minimum, and the goal is to increase from the 16 rounds to more chanting, because that's the prime sadhana, as we heard yesterday, to reach our satya. He said, please do not forget to chant at least 16 rounds. That is the minimum. The maximum is 300,000. And then Prabhupada said, this is not impractical. In other words, don't write it off as impossible. One day. And Prabhupada used to, there's another quotation that was from a lecture on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The other is from a purport. The word asakrit is significant, for it means not just for a few minutes we should chant, but continuously. That is the instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam. Kirtaniya Sadahari. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. What to speak of 64 rounds? Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we request the devotees to chant at least 16. But actually, Prabhupada says, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Thakur Haridas, who was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. Indeed, he had no other business. There are many other quotations, which I will not repeat here because of the time reason, and I believe the point is clear to all of us. We should not remain at 16 rounds. Please don't look at me with frightened eyes. You may say, but Maharaj, 16 rounds, you know, who in ISKCON chant 16 rounds any longer? I have made an investigation in America and found out, I was startled, where our how strong our sadhakas are. Many have made compromises on their vows, and I believe that there are many, several in the room also who fall in this category. You may say, and then 64 rounds? Prabhus and Madhajis, 64 rounds is nothing. If you have taste, the problem is we don't have any taste any longer. We have become materially invaded by the material energy. To chant 64 rounds a day doesn't make sense for someone who wants to stay in the world and continue his worldly samsaric existence. 64 rounds makes all the sense in the universe for someone who wants to go back to Godhead. Depends on your orientation, what you like and what you dislike. For what you have taste, or for which you culture taste, or not. Today, my dear devotees, we will enter a therapeutic experience. It means an experience where if we do it and apply ourselves 100%, we will get a certain effect. Like you have an effect by taking medicine, that's a therapeutic effect. Or if you do some things to overcome insecurities, there are practices which have a therapeutic effect, and so on and so forth. So this is a therapy which we will do. This is our most serious day. We will repeat the day in another day to come with more instructions how to make it work. Today you will have to use whatever you have understood. Today you have to go deep into your Shraddha. Today you have to also work a little bit hard. Today you have to show your substance. Maybe you have lost your substance out of sight, but I know every one of you, when they joined, they wanted to go back home, back to Godhead. So maybe you have lost the idea of your relationship with Radha and Krishna a little bit. You have put it on the second place because you just recently fell in love with a beautiful brahmacharini or a brahmachari. or you have so much troubles in your relationship that this is now needs to be fixed first and foremost, and so on. All right, we are human beings, but today we will work on that one relationship, our relationship for Krishna. However, because we need to take prasadam, one last verse, I mean, already. Please listen very carefully. I must go very fast with you through this. Don't become number obsessed today. We have said 64 rounds minimum today, but don't think, oh, where am I now? Ooh, 48, I can't believe it. Now I will go to my 49th round. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he calls this accounting game. You know, little children, like in our German families, it was still custom when I was young. We would get accounting game. We would have little beads and we would push them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think there were 5 blue ones on my counting game and 5 yellow ones. And together I learned they make 10 if you add them, 5 plus 5. And then there was a little veil, there was a piece of cloth for the more advanced study of the other rows. I had 50 altogether on my counting game, but I was first introduced to 10 so that I was not be frightened. So the child goes, Mommy, I just completed... But is it 8 or 9? And then the mother would inspect. Well, it's neither. It's 7. And a counting game. You would learn like this. This is not how we should become obsessed. We are grown-up people. This would be a huge, huge regression in our maturity of life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented in Harinam Chintamani in the 12th chapter. He said, he completes chanting a lakh of names on his Japamala, but, O Lord, he does not get a drop of the ecstatic taste of the holy name. Yes, he has completed his counting. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I chant the holy name with great attention, freeing myself from the offense of inattentiveness. I engage in bhajan, giving up the singular ambition to simply increase my numbers. I constantly chant the holy name in the awareness that I do so by your mercy. This is what we aspire for. To constantly chant the holy name, being mindful that this is Krishna's mercy on us. The counting is just a very practical help to reach a certain amount of saturation of the mind with the holy name. So it's just something on the side. It is not the prime importance of this day. Now time is also there. I wish you a wonderful day. What we will do is we will take prasadam now and then go with the buses. Braj Bihari will tell us. And as we go out of the buses and assemble at the foot of this beautiful mountain where we will take shelter today, or hill is maybe a better word, we will introduce you into the ancient Vaishnav practice of the vow of silence, which will aid your chanting tremendously. So please be on the bus and come and let us now say, I wish you all the best. This will be your best day, I know. When I observed you yesterday, I was moved to see your sincerity with which you gave yourself to the practice. So let us do this, huh? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.